Thank God for grace. Amen. Imagine where you'd be this morning without the grace of God. I promise you, you or I, neither one would be in the house of God just starting off. We wouldn't be here but for the grace of God. And the truth of it is, we wouldn't even be living here on planet Earth apart from the grace of God. We'd already be in a devil's hell, serving our eternal punishment for being just who we are, and as sinners in need of a Savior. But thank God for grace.
Amen.
Amen. Not just in salvation, but thank God for grace after salvation. Thank God for grace before salvation. It was God's grace that ushered me and you to the day if you are saved. It was God's grace that got you to the day when you did trust Christ. Just by the grace of God, we didn't die prior to that day. And then, thank God for His grace after salvation. As the great famous song says, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come.
Yeah,
it was grace that has brought us. Amen. Every step of the way, it's been grace. And I thank God for grace. A lot of times, the Lord will arrange a service and have the songs to sort of go along with the message. And that happens a good bit. But not always. And I even hesitated there for a moment and tried to make sure I was not supposed to be preaching on the resurrection and Easter and coming up not too long, and then maybe a message on grace. But the Lord began dealing with my heart yesterday in a very serious and sober way, and there's no doubt in my mind where we need to be this morning and this evening. And I want your undivided attention this morning. I don't ask for that always. It should be there. Shouldn't have to be asked for, but I'm specifically asking that you pay attention this morning. And that's not just for a few, that's for every single soul in the building this morning. You will be preached to. I will be preached to. What I'll be dealing with this morning is a very prevalent subject that I guarantee you, if you have not personally dealt with it, you have been touched by it. And if you have not ever been touched by it, you will be, and you should be. Just through the message this morning, you should be enlightened to how this issue that I'll be dealing with has touched you in one way or another. And so with that being said, I plead with you. Just give me a little bit of time this morning, and I'm trusting you to come back this evening. I'm really trusting you to come back this evening. I echo what Brother Jackie said. You need to be here when you can be here. On Wednesday nights, God's been meeting with us in a special way. And I've been getting help, and many others I've been getting word has been getting help. Sunday evenings, a lot of times it's some of our best services on Sunday nights. So, but especially this evening, I'm not going to be able to preach this entire message this morning. I'm not going to attempt to do that because it's so important, it's so critical. I want to make sure that we grasp and grab hold to the subject this morning. And it's more than a subject, it's a reality. It is a very, very real thing that we are living in 2020, and all the way back to Bible days, but it's seeming to be more prevalent, more and more and more. And personally, I do not like dealing with this subject. I have lived through a lot of this. I've dealt with it in preaching and pastoring. I've got some horror stories to tell that I don't even like talking about. But I want you to take your Bible this morning and go with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. And when you find your place, just say amen. And the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. And we'll begin reading in verse 17. I do covet your prayers. I am heavy, heavy burdened, more so than I have been in a long, long time, not just for this service, but for people. And I hope we'll all leave here today. And I know many of you are facing issues in life. Many of you are facing storms and heartaches and hardships, and please understand I'm not overlooking that and want to minister to you. But this morning, God is, it's not up to me. God has a plan and a design, and it's my responsibility as your pastor to find the mind of God and to try my best to preach what he would have us to preach and deal with. And this morning, that's what I'm going to try to do. And I hope we can all leave today being challenged. Church should not just be something you come in and I come in and we leave comforted all the time. Church is a place to get comfort and receive comfort and help. But church should be a place that we leave charged and challenged to do something about what we have heard and received, and to go out into the world and make a difference for the cause of Christ. Amen? My goodness, have I put you to sleep already? I said, amen. 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 Mark chapter number 9, verse number 17. The Bible says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out." And I got these words underlined. "And they could not." "And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you?" This is Jesus speaking. "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Do you hear the desperation? And have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Amen. Boy, you ought to put an amen right there. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, right there. Hopeless situations gain hope because of verse 23. Helpless as we are in many situations, God has given us a promise. The Lord Jesus promised us in verse 23 that all things are possible to him that believeth. Verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Remember these words as we'll go on in the message. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. Oh, that is critical. That is absolutely critical. Verse 26, and the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. And that'll be where we'll end reading this morning. And I want to preach on the subject. They could not because they would not. They could not because they would not. And I'm going to deal this morning with this young boy, this young child, this father who was perplexed, who was at his wit's end, as any father or mother or husband or brother or sister or son or daughter finds themselves when they are faced with something so strong, something so powerful that it cannot be lassoed, it cannot be brought into order or under subjection, because it is a power that seemingly makes no sense. Nothing the world tries to do, no program the world runs them through, no education seems to have power to bring this under control, no hospitalization, no rehabs or reforms, and has seemed to be able to bring this very prevalent issue and situation and scenario into focus to where it can be managed. You say, I don't understand, preacher. I just don't. That seems far out. That seems like I ain't even really run into nobody like this boy who's throwing himself into a fire and trying to throw himself and drown himself and kill himself and hurt himself and do crazy, strange things like that and foaming at the mouth and gnashing. I ain't seen many like that, preacher. I ask you to pay attention this morning, and I'm going to take some personal experience, some practical experience, and some peripheral just vision and some basic understanding, and try to enlighten us and connect these scriptures and what's going on right here in the Gospel of Mark and bring it all the way up to 2020 and connect it to you and to me. This is some father's son. This is some mother's baby boy. He's not a castaway. He's not somebody to be looked over. He's not somebody to be written off. Well, that's just how they are, and that's just the condition he's in. There's no help for them. There's no hope for that kind. We've tried all we can do, and we've worked our fingers to the bones, and we've done all we know to do. We've propped him up and sent him to the doctor and sent him to psychiatry, and we've done all we know to do, and he still is acting like a lunatic. He's still finding himself having these fits and these foaming sessions and hurting himself and cutting himself. What could cause that? That's where I want you to don't miss this. This young boy, this young man has a problem. Wouldn't you agree? That is not normal. That ain't how you want your child acting. Matter of fact, if your child started acting like this young boy, you would seek to help him. If your husband began acting like this, you would do everything in your power to try to find out what is going on and try to bring help and healing. If this was your wife or your daughter or your best friend, your coworker, and you begin seeing things like this, it would alarm you. Would it not? Say, where are you going with this? We're here. Listen, if you don't make this connection, you'll miss the whole message. This boy has another spirit. He has an unholy spirit. He has something affecting him and controlling him. Something that's doing things to him that is out of control. He has no control. It's something of the dark side. It's something birthed out of the pits of hell. It's demonic. It's past depravity. It's absolutely demonic. Over and over, I searched the Scriptures. I read everywhere. I found examples like this, and one after another, the Word of God is filled. The Gospels are filled. Not just with this one young boy, but with many, many exhibiting the same characteristics. You say, well, who are you saying that I know is demon-possessed? I'm not necessarily saying they're demon-possessed. They could be. They absolutely could be. But even if they're not possessed, they can be oppressed and managed and manipulated and controlled in such a way. Now, here's where you got to get with me. Demons need something, a vessel to operate in. They seek and search for something to indwell and something to operate in and work in. That's why in another portion of Scripture, when that man came to Jesus and Jesus cast the devils and that vile, wicked spirit out of that man, those demons went straight from a human body into the bodies of animals, pigs, and they run down the hill and run into the water and kill. I'm saying demons are looking for people to get in, and if they can't get in, to get around. You say, well, preacher, you're scaring me. You should be. It should concern you. It should bother you. I preached several months probably a half a year on all the names of the devil, on a series of knowing your enemy. On Wednesday night here, we're dealing with being a disciple and the life of a disciple, and part of that is being able to battle your enemy. And we've dealt with the world a couple of weeks ago, and then last week we dealt with that other enemy, that second out of three enemies, our flesh. And this coming up, we'll be dealing with that third, and that is the devil. And he is a real enemy. And you know, the Word of God says he cometh forth but to kill and steal and to destroy. Ain't that very directly seen in the life of this young boy we just read about? He's ripping him apart. He's tearing his flesh. He's trying to divide and separate and to brutalize and I mean absolutely mangle this young boy's not just his body but his life. Does any of those characteristics ding a bell? Just forget about demon possession for a moment. And just think about those same characteristics. Does any of those things sound familiar for what is an absolute pandemic in society in 2020? Have you ever heard of something called drug addiction? Where things get out of control. Where people act like they normally would not act. Do things they normally would not do. Are controlled by something that they start out controlling, but it soon starts controlling them. And they do things that is absolutely out of control, out of order, not normal. And it concerns their mother, their father, their mama, their daddy, their sons, their daughters, their husbands, their wives, their co-workers, and you see that life begin spiraling out of control and just absolute erratic activity begins going on. It's unexplainable until you figure out and nail down and put your finger on the fact that they are addicted. See, this is not just a problem in the Word of God. This is a problem in America, in the world. This is the elephant in the room. So I ain't heard nobody preach on this in a long time. Sad. For us to have a problem, a sin problem, so large and so big and prominent and so dominant that you cannot ride through a street corner, you cannot ride through a city or a town, anywhere, that you are not going to pass through the rags and remains and the debauchery of a drug-infested society.
Amen.
And when I began this message, I said, everybody in this room, this message is too far and will touch. And I want you right now, before I go any further, I want you to be honest. If you personally have dealt with what I'm talking about and preaching about this morning, of drug addiction, or you have been affected by a family member that you love and breaks your heart, but you love somebody that's going through this right now or has, don't you raise your hand. Don't you look around the church this morning. Don't everybody look around. Keep your hands up and look around. Does that say anything to you? You wonder why I'm preaching what I'm preaching this morning? Does God have something to say to us? Did this phenomenon take God by surprise? Is this too big for God? No, it's not too big for God. Is there a place for the church? Yes, there is a place for the church. And it begins by preaching and not skirting it and hiding it, but heading straight on face to face and dealing with the subject.
Amen.
That is a subject of sin.
Amen.
And it is a Siamese twin to demonology and demon activity.
Amen.
Demons' favorite avenue to travel through is that of drugs. Oh, yes. Hey, mama, daddy, you don't want your children getting possessed, being demon possessed? You better watch them. You better raise them right.
Amen.
Don't let them run out with every group of boys. Think, well, my child never do that. Are you listening? Say, oh, my child never do that. Yeah, that's what this little mama said. And I was raised in church. Your mama's listening. Say, oh, my child would never. We've raised them better. You might want to swallow your pride and lose your ignorance and arrogance. I'm saying it can happen to anybody. Anybody. There is no boundary that this will not touch. There is no ethnic group that this will not touch and is touching. And destroying. There is no economical class that you can rise above to outgrow this and be excused and expunged from this. No, it touches. It has no respect of person. It will come to you. It will come to your family. It'll come to our church. It's come to our community. It's everywhere you look, and it's wreaking havoc on our society. God forbid we keep our mouth shut.
Yeah. Amen.
You say, oh, I'm... Preach it, preacher. You tell it. You get them, preacher. Okay. I am. But I'm just going to go ahead and let you know, you in on this.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You have a role to play. There ain't a person in here that don't have a role to play, a part to do. Amen. Now, start having you young men come up here and sit on the front this morning, so I hope y'all listening. Say, why? Because I love you. Y'all listening? I love you. You looking at an absolute miracle this morning, listening to, because most, 95, 98, 99% of people who've been where I am never make it back to tell about it.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's the truth. Amen.
If you don't think I know what I'm talking about, hey, y'all boys better listen. You girls better listen. You listening?
Amen.
It's serious. It's the most... probably the most serious subject I've dealt with in many, many, many messages and months. Because it affects all of us. Last night, my phone rang. I started getting messages from people I love so dear. I wept at the messages I was reading. About people I've invested in, people I love, people who are doing good, only to see the power of sin reach up and pull them back down. While I was reading that, to have another come to me, confide in me, open up to me for the first time that they are absolutely in the jaws of this drug addiction, this absolute phenom of a power that they thought they could handle, and now it's eating their life apart. It's taking them apart.
Yeah.
They're losing everything. They've lost everything, as does everybody who gets yoked up. with this dark side.
Amen.
Amen. Now, just, I hope that whets your appetite this morning. Good night in the morning. I at least going to give you the introduction. You say, what was that? That was the introduction to the introduction. The Bible says, I'm preaching on this subject. They could not, you remember the text? They could not help. The daddy brought the boy to the disciples of all people. By the way, who do you think this world, when they've tried everything else that didn't work, who you think they're going to bring them to? The church. Christian people who say they have power to help, only usually to find out they ain't no power there at all. Oh, that's where we're headed. I'm going to tell you, it is a shame. It's sickening. And as selfish as anything I know of to claim and call ourselves Christian people and not have the power that God gave us to help people. And these disciples didn't have it at the time. And when men come to them and brought their baby boy to get help, they said, we can't help. We're powerless. About like 95% of most Baptist churches, including this one. You know what happens when most drug addicts come to most people? They say, go see the preacher. See, people expect the preacher to have the power and the knowledge and the wisdom and be filled with the Spirit enough to deal with that.
Amen.
And I'm not, hey listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you not to come to me. I want you to. But that does not alleviate you. They could not help because they would not help. Now we're going to get to that and the details and part of that, but God expects you, God's equipped you and me to be able to help.
Amen.
Yeah. But you ain't just going to live any way you want to live. Come to church when you want to. Pick your Bible up when you want to every blue moon. Say a prayer now, lay me down to sleep. When your family's falling apart, people you love are falling apart, being dragged down by the devil and the demons of hell. If that don't bother us and burden us to get right with God, have the power of God on us, I don't know what will. Nothing I could say can paint a better picture or preach a better message than what we are witnessing with the people we love. If that don't make you get serious with God and me, I ain't talking down to anybody. I'm saying this is to all of us. God cleaned my clock and blistered my heart. When they come to us, God forbid, we have to send them away in the same shape they came with the testimony we could not help them. Because in reality, what God sees and says, it ain't you could not. You would not.
Right.
You would not do what it took to have the power to help them.
Right.
Amen. We'll get to that this evening. But I want to give you a couple of statistics. This is amazing. You say, this is just isolated. This ain't really in my family, so what do I got to worry about? I'll just float this verse out to you. A haughty spirit coming before destruction, probably before a fall. Hey, listen, I wouldn't say something like that. Don't be so foolish. Don't be so foolish to think it can't come to you. Because if it hadn't already, and if it ain't right now, I can almost guarantee you it's going to.
Right. Amen.
Listen to some of these just things I just jotted down. Let me read you what Jeremiah said. I'm preaching on, they could not because they would not. Jeremiah said, them disciples said, we could not. Jeremiah said, because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by the servants and the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear. God's sending a message loud this morning. Very clear. And it's up to you. Will you leave here saying, I would not hear that? Now, I'm ignore that. At your own peril. And not just yours, but many others that you dearly love, friend. You bet. If you ain't never listened to this preacher, you better listen to this one. I promise you. This message will haunt you as it is me already for how many I have not been willing to help and simply throwed my hands up and said I could not when in reality I would not. I would not do what it took. Lord have mercy. Help us. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Yeah, it's about 15 or 12. Some of y'all need to wake up. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. How many of y'all can really honestly look me in the face this morning and not agree that verse has come to fruition? These days we are living in are as evil as they've ever been in the history of humanity. And they are past depraved days. They are demonic, devilish days with seducing spirits. We're there. There's never been a more intoxicated world. There's never been a more drunken, staggering population. Yeah. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, because the days are evil, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you know it ain't God's will? It ain't God's will that we be a church. How many times have you heard this? Let's put it in the equation this morning. How many times have you heard this? The church ain't a museum for the saints. It's a hospital for the hurting. Sounds good, don't it? It is good. If only we would heed that. We treat it like a hospital. We treat it like a museum. Like this right here, me standing up on this pew. Some people just crawling in their skin because my shoes touched. Hey, get over it.
Amen.
I thank God for the church. I respect the sanctuary, but I'm going to tell you something. If we can't use this place to help people and to meet people's needs, no matter where they are, how they are, the condition they are, then we ought to close the doors, board them up, and put padlocks on them.
Amen.
If all we're doing is ministering to three or four or more, just these in here, and never looking to those out there who need help, God pity us. Why are we here? Well, that's the will of the Lord is for this church to be a hospital for hurting people.
Amen.
The will of the Lord is that we have the power of God to be able to, when they come, that we can help them and see true healing in their lives. But how many people around Packlet still got a needle in their arm?
Right.
Methed up. People making jokes about the meth heads. I'm going to tell you something. Look up here at me this morning. If you think that's a joking matter, you need to go get in your prayer closet.
Amen.
Because you ain't seen the destruction. I don't care how rotted their teeth is. I don't care how bony they are. They are somebody's son, somebody's daughter, somebody's husband, somebody's wife, somebody's child. Say, hey, are you listening to me? It ain't nothing to joke about. It ain't nothing to play about. They are headed for danger if they are not already there. They need help. Don't matter who they are. And as long as I'm the pastor here, we will not become the snooty, falooty kind of church that will not help people in that condition. Period. There are churches around here like that. We don't want that kind around here. Well, send them to us, because we do. And I'll tell you this. It is a ministry of hardship. It's a ministry of let down. Up, down, up, down. Roller coaster. Joy, sadness. Smiling, weeping. But it's worth it. So what if we don't rescue them all? We rescue as many as we can.
Amen.
Having compassion with some, making a difference. Mm-hmm. It'd blow your mind, just the people I know personally who are so hooked on drugs right now in this little town. Small, dying town. You know one of the reasons it's dying? Because there's so many people who are demon-possessed and hooked on dope. If Packlet just got delivered from the drugs and the drug addictions and the drug dealing and the demon oppression and possession, why, my goodness, we'd have more people to get up and go and do and fix and work and bring. Are you listening to me? Fill churches, be good, upstanding citizens of the community. Not going from fix to fix, place to place, theft to theft. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, at least let me give you these statistics before we get leap. 70,200 people in 2019 that they know of. 70,000 plus people died from drug addiction in America last year. 70,000 people. Last year alone in America, 110, not million, billion dollars spent on heroin and methamphetamines. 130, on top of that 110 billion, 130 billion with a B on cocaine in the United States. 75 billion on marijuana and weed and. Listen. This ain't no small problem. 60 billion plus on synthetic dope, on ecstasy, all these illicit drugs. $60 billion. Put them together. Over 350. Between $350 and $375 billion in drugs come across our borders last year. Does that bother you? Does that put some kind of perspective of how big a problem we have? It's not just in New York. It's not just in Ohio. It's not just in California. It's right here in Packlet. It's in Cowpens. It's in Jonesville. It's in Union. It's in Spartanburg. It's all around us. It's in your family. It's in mine. It's in our church. Over 250. That was drugs. And this is Siamese brother. 253 billion spent on alcohol. last year. Add them numbers up. That's over $500 billion last year. $500 billion spent on drugs and alcohol to ruin, wreck, and pillage your family and mine and every other that it could. Don't you think the devil... Now, let me go back to that verse. Wouldn't you say we're living in evil days? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Our homes, our schools, our cities, our communities, states, counties, country, and even our world has been pillaged and devastated, destroyed by this evil, evil epidemic. They talking about this coronavirus? I can get into that this morning. I got my own ideas about it. I'll just say this. You got way much more to worry about with this epidemic I'm talking about than you do that coronavirus.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, if we don't see it, we ain't looking. It's right before your eyes. So I don't know what to do. I'm going to help you with that. If you don't, if you're serious and you are sincere, you won't be able to leave here tonight and say that. Amen. You will at least know what to do. You say, I can't. I just... That's what the disciples said. We can't help him. And it wasn't, again, it wasn't they couldn't. They wouldn't. It ain't because we couldn't, it's because we wouldn't. Listen, we're the only people on planet Earth who can help these people. Please let that statement sink in, because it is so important. I know what time it is when we're about to go and you're about to feed your belly full, but while you are hungry and thinking about feeding your belly, think about how many is around Packlet who don't want no food. Because they got so much drugs running in their veins. They have no appetite. They don't want no food. They want another fix. Wouldn't hurt us. By the way, that's part of the message we'll be getting to this evening. This kind, helping these people, it's going to require some sacrifice. This kind, helping these kind, cometh but by fasting and prayer only. It wouldn't hurt most of us to miss a meal or many, especially for this cause. How many meals would you miss if you knew your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, or your cousin would get delivered from their drug addiction, their demon-possessed drug addiction, and it'd be gone? I mean, the chains broke and then be set free. I'd go a week. I'd go 2 weeks. And it's easy for me to say that, but the reality is that's exactly what Jesus said it takes.
Amen.
For that kind. Amen. So how serious are we? We'll get to that this evening, but Lord, help us not be worried about what time it is. We're the only people on planet Earth that has the answer. We're the only people who has the anecdote. How stingy, I'm done right here this morning. Everybody look up here and we're going to go. How would you think of me, David, if I had the cure for cancer? I had it, the cure for cancer. Most of you in here know somebody with cancer or that has been touched by cancer or even went to the grave because of cancer. I do. Many of you do. Most of you do. All of you. If I had the cure, Brother Dennis, for cancer, and I said, that just bring too much on me. I mean, so many people would be demanding it and wanting it, and I'd never get no more rest. I mean, I'd have to go deliver it to so many, it'd take so much of my time. I just can't let that out. It just ain't worth all that. How selfish. How low. Would you not look at me with contempt of how dare you if I had that? Now go home and look in your mirror and understand this is not a hypothetical. Brother Jackie, this is a reality. You have the answer that these people in these streets need. That they can't go to Spartanburg Regional and get an answer. When they confuse and confound the psychiatrists and all those people sitting on these pews that are saved by the grace of God. You have the answer. I have the answer. And we are just as, if not more, selfish than somebody who would hold the cancer patent and cure because it would inconvenience them. Amen. Well, I want you to come back tonight. It's just the beginning. We may not get all of it, but I want you to come back tonight because I want you to know how to help people. Don't you want to know? People call me all the time. People call me. Come to me. And please don't stop. I want to help you. I want to help you. But I want you to be able to help. If we can make this exponential, I mean, that's how we will begin to make a dent. And God clearly gives us how to do it. Let's stand together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is such a serious message. It should behoove us all to get serious with God. Be willing to say, Lord, if I'm hard to this, if I'm too hard for this to touch me and break my heart, make me want to bow on my knees, and I'm too hard. If this don't touch you, God help you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, altars are beginning to fill. There's room for you. Won't you come, bow on your face before God. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you, Lord. I bow, God, to you. I bow before you, Lord, and ask you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God of heaven, forgive me, Lord, for my stone, hard heart, God. God, for failing, Lord, to be willing, God, to help people, God. Convincing myself I've done all I could do. But I just can't help them, Lord. Oh, God, we can. God, we can. And I pray you'd forgive us, God, and convict us and charge us and challenge us. God, to prove to us, God, that we can. I pray you'd help us, Lord. I pray you would do what I cannot, Lord. I beg of you in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus over every demon and imp of hell. God, drive them back, Lord, from our families, our friends, God, this community, this country. God, I plead with you, Lord, you'd set the church on fire. God, send revival to our hearts. God, help us, Lord, to have compassion on our family and our friends, Lord, in this community. God, help us, Lord, to carry the answer with the power of God on it, Lord, that'll set men free. Oh, God, I know you can. I know you can. God, you did it for me. Lord, you could do it for anybody. And I beg of you, please, Lord, help us. Soften us, Lord, for service. God, that we could reach mamas and daddies, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters. Please, Lord, help us. Help our church, God, to impact and embrace, Lord, this community. God, to be a true hospital for these hurting people, I pray. Break the chains in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.